An insightful woman acknowledges that every person receives their due according to what they've intended. Appearances and Attitude, The Genteel Lady's Guide to Practical Living. Chapter 1, Bristledale Court, The English Countryside, Late August 1822. Brett Culpepper peeked around the carved doorcase, her stomach flipping in excitement. Yes! Engrossed in the objects before him, Lord Danfield hadn't a clue he'd played straight into her and Ophelia Thurston's plans. Absolutely perfect. Jolly good fun, this. Bent at the waist, his expression one of awed concentration, the Viscount closely examined the carved jadeite and white nephrite collection displayed beneath the glass covering, just as Brett had intended. Well, more aptly, she'd hoped he couldn't resist the temptation. After she'd learned of his fascination with the foreign trinkets during supper last night, she'd broadly hinted at the vast assortment housed in Bristledale's library. A library conveniently situated on the opposite side of the manor, from where dignified footmen roamed scorching rooms, offering cooled champagne to overheated guests. Brows furrowed, Lord Danfield lifted his head and stared outside through the open French windows, murmuring something while grazing his fingers along his jawline. Moonlight lit the veranda beyond, and a scant summer breeze carried a fountain's lyrical burbling into the house. Even from her position by the door, Brett caught a faint whiff of jasmine. No surprise the rather bashful lord had escaped this evening's noisy throng and made his way to the figurines. Wise move on his part. He'd been spared Major Wilkerson's exuberant vocal rendition. Lowing cattle claimed more musical aptitude than the jovial officer. More than one disconcerted guest had emptied their champagne flute in a single swift pull before eagerly seizing another, as if hoping to mute the effects of the next amateur performer. If those presentations were anything like Major Wilkerson's, several more glasses of champagne might be in order before the entertainment recommenced.
Utterly fascinating.
Lord Danfield leaned nearer the case, paying particular attention to the more risque carvings arranged along the back row. His red-tinged ears glowed noticeably, a close match for the shot of fiery hair topping his head. To smother an undignified laugh, Brett clamped her teeth together. She too had blushed scarlet the first time she'd gazed upon the more scandalous statuettes. Tristan, the Marquis of Leventhorpe, their host and her cousin-in-law, possessed several such sculptures, which Lord Danfield seemed determined to commit to memory, down to every last naughty detail. Danfield glanced toward the entrance for an instant, and Brett ducked behind the doorframe. Had he heard her? Seen her? She turned, and waving her hand, beckoned Ophelia. The sable-haired beauty hovered near a curtained window, darting anxious glances up and down the corridor's length. As arranged earlier, they'd left the others on the pretense of needing to visit the ladies' retiring room during the musical intermission, after seeking Mrs. Thurston's permission, of course. Ophelia's mamma had nodded distractedly, a pinched look upon her lightly powdered face. Apparently, after sitting through the Major's vigorous performance, she'd needed a few moments' reprieve to collect herself. Next time, she might consider stuffing a scrap of cloth in her ears, as Brett intended to. Ophelia, her frilly ivory and rose-pink skirts swishing in her haste, whisked to Brett's side. She fiddled with her fan's lacy edge.
"Danfield's inside, alone."
"He is indeed." Brett's tummy gave another giddy quiver. She adored this part, bringing star-crossed sweethearts together. So romantic and daring, like a story from a gothic novel, except without all the drama and gloom. Her fifth matchmaking jaunt since entering society, and so far three rousing successes. The fourth, she grimaced, the spasm in her middle caused by sick remorse rather than glee. That had been a colossal disaster. So much so, she'd briefly considered forfeiting her newly self-appointed profession as Cupid's assistant, and she'd been having so much fun, too. Plus the meddling. No, I'm helping people. Gave her a purpose. By Jove, this time would be different. She'd make sure of it. Unlike her last unpleasant matchmaking escapade, Brett had investigated this moon-eyed pair thoroughly, and nary a scolding wife or piqued betrothed would caper along to interrupt her plan. It honestly hadn't occurred to her that either person mightn't have been honourable in asking her to arrange a tryst. The ways of the upper 10,000 continued to baffle and frequently appall her.